Next item on the agenda is item number 13, public hearing, proposed regulation for VAC 20-1150, pertaining to charter boat and headboat fisheries. Mr. Travelstead.
This is a public hearing on a proposed regulation to establish a control date of June 24, 2008 for the charter boat and headboat fisheries. This is a new regulation that you requested be advertised last month in response to some concerns expressed by the Charter Boat Association about a number of inequities that now exist between their ability to participate in Maryland water fisheries when compared to Maryland charter boats' ability to engage in that business here in Virginia. A control date is nothing more than a first step that one takes if you are contemplating limiting entry in the fishery at some time in the future. It's a safety valve that prevents people from gaming the system, if you will, in the future. People who might want to speculate on the value of a license by purchasing one now, thinking that it might be worth something in the future. By setting a control date that is a date in the past, you prevent that from happening. And that then sets up the pool of people that would be allowed into the fishery if you decide down the road to make some decision to limit entry. It does not necessarily mean you have to make that decision down the road. It just sets the deadline that you will consider later if you choose to go in that direction. Along those lines, I want to update you a little bit from what's in the evaluation. We did meet with a group of recreational fishermen and charter boat captains here last week to talk about these issues, the issues with Maryland and reciprocity. And there's a great deal of interest in these subjects. There's a great deal of concern about the competition that Maryland provides to our own charter boat industry, because they can come down here and participate in our rockfish fishery where our guys can't go up into their waters and do likewise. There's generally two groups of charter boat captains, and they have the problems that they are having are a little bit different. The charter boats that exist up in the Northern Neck are the ones that need to get into Maryland waters. And that's the group that sees problems with the reciprocity agreement and the competition from Marylanders. There's another group of charter boats down at the southern end of the bay, down at like Rudy Inlet, for instance, that see competition from the Maryland charter boats during the rockfish season. Both groups seem to want some type of limited entry. The other complaint we hear from the southern charter boats is one of enforcing the 3-mile limit in the rockfish fishery. It's their claim, and they offer really no substantiation to this claim, but it's their claim that the Maryland charter boats are almost openly telling their customers, we will guarantee you fish today, even if it means going beyond the 3-mile limit to catch them into closed waters. And that's taking customers who normally hire Virginia charter boats who won't go beyond the 3-mile limit to fish illegally. It's their belief that this is a widespread practice, and as a result, they want to not only see better enforcement, but fewer Marylanders down here through some type of limited entry program. The discussions that we had last week, we did mention to the group last week that Maryland DNR has contacted us already. They are aware that we are having these discussions with our industry. They're aware that you're considering a control date today. And they have asked that beyond that, that the commission take no further action until we have a chance to talk to the charter industry in Maryland and Maryland DNR to see what they might be willing to do to let more Virginians into Maryland waters. How far those negotiations will go, I can't tell you. But we have set a meeting date of August 11th to meet in Colonial Beach with representatives from both states' charter boat associations. Beyond adoption of the control date, I don't think we need to take further action today pending the outcome of that meeting. Now, at last week's meeting, there seemed to be a lot of interest from that group in having the commission fairly quickly adopt a guide license, which the code allows you to do. That's what Maryland has. They have a guide license, and they limit the sale of that guide license to a certain group. So our guys want us to create a similar guide license, limit the sale of that guide license to a select group, and then go back to Maryland, indicate that we're now on equal footing, and see if they would not be willing to make the guide licenses in both states reciprocal. And they're hoping that's the approach that will solve the problem. We may not need to go that far if on August 11th Maryland is willing to make some changes to their laws. And we'll be glad to update you after that meeting.
I have high hopes for that meeting. I think it'll go well. I think the group that's up there at Maryland DNR want to get along and want us to work from a parity perspective. That's all we want, just like North Carolina. I make no bones about the fact that I am in no way pleased with the situation we have with the state of North Carolina at the present time as far as the fees are concerned. We've asked before, and come high water, we're going to move one way or the other as far as that situation is concerned as well.
Speaking of that, there was widespread support at last week's meeting for going to the General Assembly and getting approval to charge non-residents a higher fee than residents.
It's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. And those, we're not talking about just a little bit of money. The difference in what North Carolina citizens pay when they come up here and use our waters versus what we pay when we go down there is, it's not fair. Right? It's a burr. It's bothering me. Anyway, Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jack, just a follow-up question. Is it your opinion that that this step will help us eventually in achieving some sort of reciprocity or position us better for those discussions with Maryland?
I think it does. I think it's an indication of a direction you're seriously considering, and that's I think going to get their attention. And if down the road you decide that's not the direction you want to go in, you've not hurt anybody by establishing the control date. It sits there until you decide to make further use of it.
Well, and a follow-up, a control date can be could potentially be changed, could it not?
It could
absolutely
be changed. Sure.
Right. I guess the lingering concern I have is that typically, if we approve a control date for limited entry, it's in response to excess capacity specifically, and this is serving the public interest perhaps in a slightly different way. And I'm not opposed to adding it as a sort of a management tool, but I wonder if ultimately we might achieve reciprocity through the terms and conditions of the guide license itself and how we restrict its sales to non-residents perhaps. Oh. But we'll have to explore that in the future.
Mr. Schick.
Staff is not suggesting any limited entry for Virginia residents in the charter boat.
We're not suggesting anything in the way of limited entry today, but there can be legal issues if, and Carl can speak to this better than me, I think, you can't establish a limited entry fishery that only applies to non-residents while residents, everybody has to more or less be on equal footing. A good example of that were the crab cases from a couple decades ago where we excluded Maryland crabbers from our fishery but allowed unlimited number of Virginians into the fishery. And, of course, the Maryland fishermen took us to court, and, that was overturned.
Well,
Ms. Fox?
in Maryland doing that? Aren't they limiting fisheries by putting in the guide license?
They are limiting the guide license, but it's limiting its sale to Marylanders as well as non-residents. If you live in Maryland now and wanted to be a charter boat captain, you can't get into the fishery.
Okay.
It's limited.
But it's limited to everybody.
Without respect to residency, yes.
Okay.
Mr. Bowden?
That's not the case in some things in Maryland. Right now, Marylanders with Virginia commercial license can buy all the straight bass permits they want. Even if you have a Maryland gillnet license and you're a Virginia resident, you cannot have straight bass transferred to you, because one of the boys home tried to do it. The fellow was willing to sell his permit. They have a grandfather type license that includes everything, a coastal fishing license. And you can't transfer that because oysters and clams are involved in that license. But this man just had a gillnet license and he wanted to transfer them. And they said as of last year, there will be no more transfers to Virginia residents, even if they had Maryland saltwater fishing license. And the boys had the Maryland saltwater fishing license, commercial license, for 7-8 years, maybe longer than that. And he could not transfer them to them. So Maryland, you know, we get the short end of the stick on everything from Maryland, not just this. So, I mean, that's something Maryland can tell you what they want, but yes, they do limit stuff against Virginia residents exclusively.
Might be worth a challenge.
Further comments? Right, thank you, Jack. This is a public hearing. Anyone in the public wish to be heard from? Public hearing is now closed. Matters before the commission.
I move we approve the control date as indicated here, June 24, 2008, for the charter boat and head boat fishery.
Motion made by Mr. Fox. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Tankard. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Jack.